of eternal life. Alleluia, Lord, to whom shall we go? Alleluia, Lord, to whom shall we go? The Holy Gospel according to John, the 17th chapter. Jesus said, I have made your name known to those whom you gave me from the world. They were yours, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they know that everything you have given me is from you, for the words that you gave to me I have given to them, and they have received them and know in truth that I came from you, and they have believed that you sent me. I am asking on their behalf. I'm not asking on behalf of the world, but on behalf of those whom you gave me, because they are yours. All mine are yours, yours are mine, and I have been glorified in them. And now I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world. And I'm coming to you, Holy Father. Protect them in your name that you have given me, so that they may be one as we are one. While I was with them, I protected them in your name that you have given me. I guarded them, and not one of them was lost except the one destined to be lost, so that the scripture may be fulfilled. But now I am coming to you. And I speak these things in the world so that they may have my joy made complete in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they do not belong to the world, just as I do not belong to the world. I am not asking you to take them out of the world, but I ask you to protect them from the evil one. They do not belong to the world, just as I do not belong to the world. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. As you have sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, so that they also may be sanctified in truth. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
I invite you to be seated. So the Feast of the Ascension was on Thursday. And the author of Luke Acts tells of the end of Jesus' time on earth with his disciples. We hear the command for them to wait in Jerusalem for the coming of the promised Holy Spirit, that powerful advocate, presence of God, one that would guide them in their task to be Jesus' witnesses in their hometowns, in their region, other countries, finally the whole world. And then it describes how he withdrew from them, was carried up into heaven. The disciples then go with joy back to Jerusalem to wait for this promised Holy Spirit. Now, we know that that Spirit won't come for another week from today, 10 days from when Jesus had left them with a blessing. But they didn't know that. All they knew was they were to go and wait. And so there they sat in Jerusalem in this strange in-between time, between what was and what will be. Knowing the presence of Jesus and waiting to fulfill his final charge to them to be witnesses to him. Kind of makes you wonder what they thought about, dreamed about, talked about during that time. We know something about living in in-between times, don't we? High school seniors who have worked so hard, sometimes frantically, to fulfill those final class projects, concerts, events, exams. And now they're done. And they sit in this in-between moment because they're done, but they're not graduated yet. In this weird knowledge that everything that they had experienced over the previous 12 years of their lives is over. That pattern of life is done. And the next adventure, college or career, lies just ahead, but not yet. We know about living in in-between times. When we know we're leaving this job, we've had the interview, we're waiting for the response. knowing that this job, this moment in our life, one way or the other, is over, but waiting to learn what that next part will be. We know about living in between times. We sit on the seventh Sunday of Easter with the disciples in this in-between moment. Their time with Jesus in the flesh finally over, pondering who he is, what he means to them, but also knowing that once this power of God falls on them, they'll go into the world and boldly proclaim how much God has done for them in Jesus. We too have celebrated with joy the resurrected Jesus. Remember that just 7 short weeks ago? The promise and hope that comes to us in the resurrection, and we too wait. Wait for Pentecost and the promised Holy Spirit that we might be empowered to go out and witness, to tell our story of God's love come to us in Jesus, what that has meant for us and for our lives. What do we ponder with the disciples this week? In this in-between time. Perhaps we ponder, we look back at how Jesus has touched our lives. Where he has bathed us in God's love. By healing our wounds. By chasing out our demons. By looking us in the eye, calling us beloved, and saying, I choose you. Come. Follow me. Can you picture those moments in your life? We ponder as we look around this community of believers Jesus has called us into. I had one of my students at University of Dubuque this week ask a question about the importance of our personal faith with God. And as Martin Luther said, one of the most powerful things is the fact that God in Jesus Christ is for me, is for you, is for us individually. And yet, the love of God comes to us not to save us alone, but to save the world, right? The text in John 3:16 is, for God so loved the world, right? The love of God, that is Jesus, comes to call us into a deeper and more loving community. It's about the y'all, right? Of which we each are a part. Now, as with those first disciples, this assembly of believers is far from perfect. We mess up. We misunderstand. We have our squabbles. We display our quirks. We don't always live up to the things that God and Jesus calls us to. We don't follow his example for us all the time. And maybe that's why I like Mark's gospel so much. Because those original 12 are the same, aren't they? Yet Jesus doesn't send them away. He just invests more in them. Because he has called them with all of their messiness and quirks and foibles. And ultimately, because we have all experienced that same love of God come to us in Jesus, and because through his teachings we have begun to see in each other this diversity of gifts and abilities that Jesus did, and how those gifts fit together into a whole that is greater than the sum of its parts, ultimately, we find in this messy, imperfect, wonderful community of faith, we find here life. Life that is truly life. A life that is better than the one we would have without this community of followers of Jesus. And as those first disciples in this in-between time, we ponder our relationship with the world. The love of God that has been poured out over us in baptism has ruined us, friends. For while we are in the world, we don't belong to it anymore. Because we have experienced the power of the way of love, of peace, of hope. And that makes us different. I was listening to an Israeli professor speaking about the coming invasion of Rafah in Gaza. And in his statement about that attempt to finish Hamas as an organization, he said something to the effect of, well, we must kill our enemies. That's the only game in town. And I had a visceral reaction to that. No. No, it's not. We know different, don't we? The only thing that will conquer fear and hate is love. That's why Jesus is on the cross. The only thing that conquers fear and hate is love. We know that violence and bloodshed ultimately never solves anything. You cannot kill fear and hate. It just feeds them. Those things can only be smothered out by love, can only be transformed by love. That really is the only game in town. Jesus has indeed ruined us for the ways of the world. And so we sit in this in-between time. Our program year is over. A different pattern of worship is coming up in a few weeks. A differently paced time of ministry. We look back over this program year. We give thanks to God for what has been. We look ahead, pondering what God is calling us to in the future. And in this in-between time, we rest and we ponder and we wait. Wait for the Holy Spirit to fall upon us and pull us back into the world. And until that time, we are those who delight in the word of the Lord. That language of the first psalm. We meditate on God's teaching in Jesus day and night. We are like trees planted by a stream of water, the healing water of baptism that claims and cleanses, the refreshing water of communion, bread and wine that feeds our bodies and souls, the nourishing waters of the Word of God that comes to us in Jesus in the Scriptures, waters that make us grow straight and tall. And when we are connected to this true vine that is Jesus, we bear good fruit in due season. What fruit? Well, the fruit of God's love, right? The love that we receive, the love that we then spread to others. For our graduating seniors and those others who are in this major in-between times, I pray that you feel the presence of God with you in these moments. That you'd find the time, take the time, to truly ponder what has been and what is to come. So that when the time is complete, you go forth on the next adventure filled with joy, anticipation, hope, promise. And for the rest of us in this in-between time, I pray that we might find rest and inspiration so that when the Holy Spirit does come, we would be ready to answer that call. Follow Jesus into this world that God has so loved, because God in Jesus has already loved us from death back into life. We are in an in-between time. But we are together. And we are beloved of God. And what more could we need? Thanks be to God.